This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to the Positive Change Broadcast. I'm Robert Cook, and today we shall experience together a positive change.
Let's continue with part three of our series entitled, The Diligent Person.
The pastor who's got a certain level of organization can deal with 50. Pastor with another level organization can deal with 200. Pastor with another level organization can deal with 1,000. Another level organization could deal with 25,000 or more. Young E. Cho is very organized. He's got over 2 million people, I think they say now. Being able to organize yourself requires the diligence, because I tell you, the more you know, the more organization it takes to keep it all in order before you start forgetting and skipping and missing things. And a person who's diligent enough to stay, I mean, I've had the opportunity to be around some people I consider successful, and they just move different. You ever be around anybody that's highly successful? Maybe you read the autobiography or looked at it. Those individuals act differently than we do. They think differently. They move differently. I'm not talking about they're staunch and don't have fun. They have fun when it's time to have fun. They're very serious about that. You come late to that one, clock's already been running. We're smaller now. We get a little bit larger because I've been thinking I might have to deal with some things. You know, I got an appointment. Somebody's got a counseling appointment for an hour. Come in a half hour late. Hey, you got a half hour left. Got a half hour left, because that's all I have for you was hours. So you got a half hour left. You know, if you come in late, you missed it. We're on a schedule. Because the busier you get, the more you take care of, the more you're doing, the less time you have, and you schedule your day, and people have to fit the schedule of your day. That's what I find with highly successful people. Their life is scheduled. Why? Because there's so many things they know, so many areas. They know they need to exercise, so they got to have exercise time. They know they need to read and study to build themselves. They know they need to pray and meditate. They know they need to spend some time with the wife and kids. They know they need to go pick something up at the bank. They know they need to get on a computer and check their banking balance. They know they need to do all that every day, so their day is full. They pray that they have more than 24 hours. They wish they had. That's why I said anybody who's just got availability for everybody all the time is somebody that's not living up to their potential. Because if you're living up to your potential, there's not enough hours in the day. Oh, Lord, if a day was just 48 hours, we'd get so much done. And you're eager because you're bursting with vision to do it. A diligent person gets like that because they said, I can manage more. And to the degree that you're diligent is the limitation of what you'll be successful or not successful. How much can you handle? How much can be on your plate at one time and you juggle it all and still get it all done? The guy who can have 10,000 employees under him could run a division of General Motors. The guy that, if you give him more than 6 employees under him, going to fall apart, would maybe be a line supervisor. And there's a difference in pay because there's a difference in requirement of ability to manage. The pastor has 200 can't manage as well as the pastor that has 25,000. So God will let these individuals develop where they are, but some would choose not to go any further. I've got pastor friends who say, this is 100 people, that's all I want. Matter of fact, some pray for a small church. God, don't let us grow. I say, ooh, I don't know about praying, not letting the church grow any part of it. You know, that's like the body saying, the foot saying, you know what, I like being a size 6. I'm 10 years old, I like being a size 6. Don't let me grow. And the rest of the body keep growing. That's going to be a problem. It's not going to work out like the foot thought it would. Just because it likes to wear size shoe fit looks, that's not going to work out the right way. Okay? But that's what happens. So I always tell pastors, why would you want a small church? You should want as big a church as God wants you to have. And God wants his church busting at the seam, so you should want to grow. Now, your abilities and your willingness may stop you from growing, but you should still want to grow. You should desire growth in the body of the church. And every if the city's saturated and it's just not the main centers anymore around, you might be out in the country and you got almost 90% of all the people there and nobody else is getting saved, your growth may slow down. But if you're in a big city where centers are everywhere, you should keep growing. And if you stop growing, it's because your ability and your diligence leveled you out. Maybe you didn't want to study anymore to understand. I learned some things at Raymond, some things I've been studying about why we're stuck at the 200. And how are we going to break through that? And there's some structure changes we need to make. There's employment changes we need to make. There's prayer changes we need to make. There's things we provide we need to make. Youth groups, other things, a band, a live band. Why? Because people like that. They don't need all of it. A lot of it they need, but a lot of it they just want. But just the same, the fish determine the bait. The fish determine the bait, and you got to catch a fish before you can clean it. But you're only going to catch it with the bait that it wants.
Good morning, everyone. I want to let you know about something great happening at Joy Faith Christian Center on Sunday, September 21st. We will have our annual Big Sunday Celebration. This is a day of praise, worship, exhortation, and of course, the Word of God. We've shared our mornings together on the radio. Come and be a part of a live service. Be my guest as we roll out the red carpet for you, our partners and friends. Mark your calendar to join me Sunday, September 21st at 11 a.m. at Palm Beach Lakes High School in West Palm Beach, where together we will make a positive change.
The fish determine the bait, and you got to catch a fish before you can clean it. But you're only going to catch it with the bait that it wants. Jesus did not travel with a choir or a band, and he did a great job. Does that mean I don't want it? No. But in this society here, you're going to have a problem if you don't have it just because people want it. Just because they want it, not because they understand it or know what to do with it, just because they want it. They don't want it to worship God. They want it because it's good to them. That's why they don't care whether they really do the word. But what we're going to do is we're going to give it to them, but we're going to keep the word in it. We're going to keep the word in it. And then they'll say, "Ooh, this is really good because I'm singing the word." We're going to teach them the word through the songs. Now, some of our worship and praise leaders are going to start writing some stuff because it's hard to find stuff around here. They're going to start believing God and getting faith for those gifts because they got the word in them. You just got to put it down on paper. And God will send somebody to put a little beat with it, or God will give you the idea. Because, see, that's part of being a worshiper. You don't want me pastoring not getting any word, do you? So they're going to be leading worship and praise. They're going to lead it from the word. You can say it's prophetic or you have to do it, whichever one you want. But they're going to get that. I tell you, the longer you hang around here, the bolder I'm going to get. But, see, they got it in them because they have the gift of God on the inside. And some of them already had songs. They just didn't write them down. I've had songs and didn't write a few of them down. A few of them I wrote down. I said, I'm going to put that to music someday. You know, if you're full of the Spirit, a song is going to come out of your heart. A song is going to come out of your heart. And, you know, if it's a spiritual psalm, it's going to be good because the Spirit and the Word are in it. But are we diligent when we get these things to write them down? Are we thinking that's somebody else's anointing? If I'm the pastor, it's my anointing to grab the Word that God brings to my heart and dress it and get it right and prepare it and deliver it to the people. They get a word from God, put in a song. Get it together, put in song. God to begin to develop that on the inside because we're a spiritual church. We're going to be led of the Holy Spirit. We are led of the Holy Spirit. We've been led of the Holy Spirit. We'll continue being led of the Holy Spirit. We'll do what God wants because we're diligent to serve him. We're diligent to serve God. One more, then we're going to close and we'll say we're finished with the diligent person. Proverbs 12. I think I covered Proverbs 22:29 before, which says the diligent will stand before dignitaries and rich men and kings. The diligent people will be promoted. They will stand before honorable people. They will be lifted up before, because when you're diligent, you're brought forward. Pastor Butler was a diligent pastor, and Ronald Reagan appointed him to some urban something. He'd go every third Thursday, I think it was, to Washington, D.C. during the Reagan administration, and they were asking his opinion on spiritual matters concerning the country, him and several other group of ministers. But he got chosen, a bunch of other ones, because they recognized his diligence. They recognized his commitment to the things of God. They had their reasons for it. And there would have been less influence if they hadn't had the men of God in somewhere. But the diligence will stand for dignitaries. When he was in high school, when he was in college, and he had dropped out of college back then, never would have thought he'd be invited by the president to the White House to be on a council. That just doesn't make sense. You wouldn't think Joseph, a former prisoner, would get to be the highest ruling person under Pharaoh in Egypt. A foreigner on top of that. God's always doing the impossible because the diligent. Now, you know Joseph was diligent to serve God, wasn't he? Through hell and high water, he was diligent. But he was diligent, and he was brought before dignitaries and rich men. That was Proverbs 22:29. Now Proverbs 12:23-24. Proverbs 12:23-24. Proverbs 12:23-24, the final point on the diligent person. Proverbs 12:23-24. A prudent man, Proverbs 12:23-24. A prudent man Make sure I'm in the right place. A prudent man concealeth knowledge. In other words, he stores it up. That word concealeth is to plumb up the hollows. Now, that's a weird phrase. We don't use that phrase, but the Vines Expository Dictionary said concealeth means to plumb up the hollows, which means wherever there's a space to put some knowledge, he shoves it in there. He plumbs up the hollows. He packs it in. I couldn't know anymore if I wanted to. So the prudent man, the smart man, the intelligent man, the wise man is plumbing up the hollows. He filling himself or herself with knowledge, but the heart of the fool proclaims foolishness. The hand of the diligent shall bear the rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. The hand that did. Now, following that prudent person storing up that knowledge, their wise person is storing up the knowledge. They are diligent to do what? Diligent to store it up. Now, many of you in here are out of school, whether it's out of high school, out of college, but are you still filling up? Or you said, I've got all the education I need. I got a job. I don't have to learn anything else. I got a job. Yeah, but you're desiring a promotion. You're desiring increase. That may be one reason not coming. You're not learning anything. You're not growing anymore. Just because you got a job, if you're a secretary, get a book on secretarial skills and be a better secretary. We have realtors in here. If you're a realtor, get a book on sales and sales technique. Get Dr. Ron's book on personality profiles. I sold for 12 years. I wish I'd have known everything in that book. Some of us stumbled across by accident. I benefit from it, but I wish I'd known it all. Where when the prospective client drove up, I could look at their car, look at their suit, and tell what person I'm dealing with and have one up on them and know how to talk to them. Like they're a D where I just answer their questions. They know what they want already. Just take them to what they want. Or rather they're a C and I impress them with my information and knowledge and the facts. Rather they're I and I just say, let's have a good time. I'll smile and grin because they really don't care. They just want to have a good time. Or I look and I know whether they are S, and I got to be real sweet and gentle and, oh, this is really nice. And Mrs. So-and-so, this kitchen, you're going to have company over and they're going to say what a wonderful cook you are. Because, see, the individuals have their bent. And if you can identify their bent by looking at, because you can tell people by the colors they wear. You can tell them by the way they talk, the way they carry themselves, knowing the way they look. If you read that book, it'll help you identify who people are. A lot of you guys in here, I know who you are just because I know some of you. And I know how you act and all that. And I say, okay, so-and-so is this. So if I relate to you and I want to communicate with you, I need to communicate to you in your language. If I look at this one and they're a Ferengi, no need of me talking to them like they're an Andorian. That's that Star Trek talk again, you know? Say if they are an English person, no longer talking to them with Spanish. Let's get it like that. You know what I mean? You speak the language of person. But suppose you could look at a person and know their language before they say anything. Because you look at the car they drive. They're driving a Honda Accord, high C personality, looking for something with a good model and a very conservative vehicle, great mileage, not a lot of style, but conservative. Somebody come up with a flashy red Maserati, no way is that a C. Bill Gates wouldn't own one. He wouldn't even own one. Makes him feel uncomfortable going around everybody looking at him like that. He's not that concerned about being noticed.
Today's message has been part three of our series entitled The Diligent Person.
The Positive Change Broadcast is a listener-supported ministry. Take a moment and log on to www.joyoffaith.com. Click on the online giving tab and set up an automatic recurring monthly gift of $50 or $25 to support the Positive Change Broadcast. Your generous gift helps us to continue ministering the word to your family and many others each weekday morning. So consider this program's value to you and schedule your support today. Make a difference by giving generously. Joy Faith Christian Center is located at Military Trail, two blocks south of 45th Street in the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. Come this Sunday and be a part of our worship service at 11 a.m. You'll experience praise and worship, practical and useful teaching in a comfortable, casual setting, and a warm welcome from the Joy Faith family. Joy Faith is an awesome church for you to learn the Word of God, develop your spiritual gifts and talents with believers just like you. So meet me this Sunday at 3505 Shiloh Drive in West Palm Beach, Florida, 33407. I look forward to greeting you in person this Sunday at the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. I'm Robert Cook. Thank you for joining me today. I believe you've got something that you can use to make a positive change in your life.
Portions of WCNO's broadcast day is underwritten by RW Plumbing, Limited Life.